Well, welcome back, everyone. This is Eric Ellefson. Today on the podcast, I'm with Paul Tim, who is Vice President at Facility Engineering Associates and a school security expert. Met Paul for the first time a number of years ago when I was working on the southwest side of Chicago. And Paul, thanks for being with me today and taking a little bit of your time. I want to jump right in and just ask you a question on school security. And you've been traveling the country and speaking and even writing on these issues for quite some time. But really, in the last couple months, what have you seen in regards to school security and people's response since what happened in Parkland?
Well, thank you for having me, Eric. Yes, obviously that was a tragedy of epic proportions. And I think what made it even worse was that there was knowledge. There was prior knowledge before this individual came and did what he did. There was already risk levels and people were reporting things. But the other thing that runs into this equation is that students, of course, rose up in the aftermath of this, and not just Broward County students, but students across the country organized walkouts. And I think those two things combined, the great tragic situation plus the aftermath of student activity especially, has caused a lot of schools to want to assess where they are and make improvements as fast as possible. And by the way, all of that tragedy produces some positive aspects, in that schools will now be, in general, providing safer learning environments.
So, you know, and that's something that I've been wondering about, with questions since, going back all the way to, after Columbine and then recent events. How do we balance, or how do you create with schools a place where it's a safe learning environment, it's a secure facility, but it's also open. It's an open learning space that we know fosters the relationships necessary for, a healthy community.
Well, first of all, you've got to have a collaborative effort. You can't have one person as a security director or school resource officer or whomever has the final responsibility be the only person that's really trying to move things forward. A collaborative effort means that we've got teachers and staff involved, that we've got students who are concerned and doing their part, that we've got community stakeholders and emergency responders all kind of holding hands together. That's the first thing, Eric. It must be that we're all making a personal investment. And by the way, I think we can do that because everybody understands whether there's an incident happening at YouTube headquarters or the movie theater or the mall or the school, we're not in a Mayberry kind of a day. And second of all, I think you want to focus on the right priorities instead of going for hardcore systems and products, which, by the way, I don't have anything against many of them, but the value of those things rests precariously on a foundation of the written practices and the people who are implementing and operating them. I always recommend to schools that you focus on two areas first, and those areas are communication systems. They should never be anything less than excellent, and that means two-way radios, public address, telephone systems, even cellular phones, all of and mass notification systems. All of those things have to be excellent, and we can make them excellent. And then the other area is access control. And access control just says, do I know at any given time who's in my building? Did I authorize them? And am I restricting where they're able to go? But that's the primary side. The flip side is, do I know who's no longer in my building and should be, or on my school bus or whatever it might be? So access control and communications are always the two areas that protect people the most.
So if I'm a school leader and, often, summertime is a time to reassess, summertime's a time to do facility builds or improvements, how would you suggest here in this, next couple months that school leaders look at their safety and security, these protocols with communication, access control, and relationships. What should they be doing here, you know, in these next couple months to even prepare for, you know, another school year?
Well, the first thing I would say is hurry up. Here we are, you know, at the beginning of May, and we're going to blink and it's going to be the end of the school year. So, I don't mean to, you know, to make people's lives more stressed than they already are, but the clock is ticking if we want to be able to do something over the summer. The second thing I would say is, And of course, I'm an independent security consultant. So, you know, consider the source. But I would say an assessment is really important. It doesn't have to be through me or, you know, another security consultant. You can bring in emergency responders. There are plenty of tools that can help with self-assessment checklists. Again, whatever I do, I would make it collaborative so that there's not just one person saying, step aside, I'll tell you what I found and what you need. It must be collaborative. People have to make an investment. And when we do that, we get different angles, different views, and the sets of priorities, I think, that are more than just either physical security. They might involve mental health. They're going to certainly involve emergency preparedness. We begin to look at everything a little bit more holistically, but until we are actually conducting assessments and taking inventory of what we've got, we really have a hard time knowing where we're going to go. And then ultimately, we run the risk of falling into a let's throw it at the wall and see what sticks. And Eric, that generally does not produce really great, safe results.
Yeah. I read your article on access control of being key. But on that point too, where you just mentioned kind of mental health experts, is how do you integrate the mental health experts into this process and collaborate with them so that you can better care for, you know, your students or the people on your campus or even just people within your school community?
Well, it begins with having some kind of safety planning team that has mental health stakeholder representation. And in the buildings, you may have social workers or you know, and I don't want to speak because we name them different things, guidance counselors, and some have certain levels of expertise and some don't. But those that are already plugged in our internal stakeholders, they're non-negotiables. They've got to be on the safety planning team, but they can also help us find assets in the communities, those that do have expertise. And I want those people to be part of the discussion. They want to be part of the discussion. And of course, there's any number of organizations like NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, things like that, organizations like that, that can be very, very helpful.
So maybe one last question as we spend a little bit of time together this morning is, what's the biggest change that you've seen, you know, in these last few years that really give you hope and encouragement, you know, for schools, for their safety, for their security, and for the good things that they're doing? Because it seems, you know, when we see this, and I'm sure when you see it, it is the tragedies. It is, you know, these, you know, significant events that, you know, rattle us all to our core. But what have you seen over the last number of years where you're seeing some really good things happening?
Well, I'm going to give you two, Eric, if I can. First one is raised levels of awareness. And whether it's students or teachers or parents, there's certainly a concern level that is an all-time high, I would say. But awareness helps us. We now have not just does everybody know 911, but everybody now is familiar with see something, say something, and we're getting reporting mechanisms and we're telling people. I was conducting an assessment of an elementary school the other day, and I just took a photo from the end of an intersection to get an idea of what a rival looked like during the school. And it wasn't a matter of minutes, but one of the elementary students had seen me take a photo, didn't recognize me, went in and told the principal, hey, there's a guy taking photos. And by the way, I'm pretty discreet. I wasn't making a big show of it. So for somebody to see that, another example, I walked into a school property, and I kind of knocked on a gymnasium exterior door. And, you know, in yesteryear, students just open that door for you and let you in. I'm wearing a tie. I look like I belong. And the student came up to the door, and I can see it happening in my mind's eye, and was about to hit the exit device to open it up to let me in, and kind of caught himself. This was a high school, and then went right back to floor hockey or whatever they were playing. And I thought, isn't that impressive that whether it's students or teachers, the awareness level is being raised, and they're not scared. I can't speak for the elementary student who reported it to the principal. Maybe she was scared, but the student at the high school we then went and spoke with, and he said, I didn't know who you were. And, you know, we live in a day where, you know, you've got to be careful. So I think the raised level awareness is something that's really great. The other thing that I would say is really encouraging to me is the involvement of students. And while I'm not advocating walkouts for the sake of walkouts, and certainly I'm not advocating the furtherance of political agendas, I am saying that students are, first of all, ahead of us in technology and ahead of adults, that is. And second of all, they've got a better pulse for what's really going on. We must find healthy and appropriate ways to involve students. And, you know, we're going to be in a day, Eric, where, as you know, there's a parent notification system sends an emergency message out if we've got an incident going on. We're in a day where students should be part of that emergency notification system as well. They're already away from the building. If we have open lunch or vocational or athletic events, we should be able to get messages to them. They're all carrying smartphones as well. But, you know, whether it's surveying them or having them come in and talk with us about technology and staff meetings, there's really all kinds of ways, and we had better begin including them. And I know we are. That's starting. I think it's one of those changes that I would say is a good thing that we have a lot more room to grow in, and it will over the course of the next few weeks and months.
Paul, I really appreciate that. You know, it's interesting, even in my career, I remember, you know, in the early days, you know, in the early 2000s, where it felt like very much we were doing this to people, keeping them safe and secure and not allowing them to be a part of that process. And so that's encouraging for me to hear. So thank you.
Yep, sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul, for your time. Really appreciate it.
Have a great day, Eric.
You too. Thank you.